I'm going to skip around a little bit on you this morning with my scripture. I have several different scriptures, and I'll try to at least give them to you. You may not be able to keep up because I'm looking and seeing. I want to do something a little different this morning, in the sense that when we always talk about God, you know, we're always talking about God of love, God of mercy, God, you know, good, good, good. And I think sometimes we forget there is another side to God. And quite frankly, we don't hear about it very often. But it's very clear as you study the Word of the Lord that, you know, the Lord sometimes gets a little perturbed at us and gets a little upset with us and quite frankly gets angry with us. And rightfully so. He's much more tolerant and much more understanding than we are deserving of. And so I want you to think this morning a little bit about God's anger. God's anger. Now, I recognize that not many times do people want to hear about that. But let's go back, and I want to give you some examples out of the Word of the Lord. And one of the best ones is a fellow that I talk about and preach about quite often, a fellow that was certainly a great man in the Word of the Lord, a man by the name of Moses. And if you remember, God had, you know, from the time he was born, God had taken care of him. You know, he had seen him through the very days of his babyhood, right up until he became an older man. And God had made provision for him. God had done everything for him. And then God said, now I've got something that I want you to do for me. Now, sometimes I think that we get this idea that God's just supposed to do everything. And that, you know, all we've got to do is just say, Lord, you know, you take care of this, you do this. Once in a while, God has something for us to do. And very often, I think we're as Moses was whenever the Lord came to him and said, you know, I've heard the cry of my people down in Egypt. They desperately need to be brought up out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage, and I'm going to bring them up out of there. I'm going to deliver them, and I want you to go down there and be the man to lead them up out of there. I want you to do something. You know, I've groomed you for this. This is what, you know, all of these years I've taken care of you, I've provided for you, and I've brought you to this time, and you're the man. And so, you know, the first thing that Moses does as the Lord begins to tell him is to say, well, Lord, you know, they're not going to believe me. They're not going to believe me. We many times when God is speaking to us to do some little something. Now, I want you to think about this, comparatively speaking, what Moses' role was going to be compared to what God was going to do. You know, God was going to lead this entire nation that he had been blessing all the time they were down in Egypt, that he had been providing for, and he had taken care of them while they were down there. They were there, and they were being punished because of their sin. I cannot emphasize enough to you this morning that sin always has a price to be paid. Now, God's people don't want to hear that. And they want to teach and preach something totally different. It's just to say, God, all that's got to happen is you just got to say, God, I'm sorry. And God will just wipe it out. I want you to show me that in the Word of the Lord. I'm tired of hearing it. I want from the Word of the Lord. I don't want to hear what you think. I want you to tell me and to show me where that God just says, you know, every time you do something, and all you got to do is just say, I'm sorry, and I'll forgive you. Listen, Moses said to the Lord, Lord, you know, they're not going to believe me. What are they going to think when I go down there and say, the Lord sent me down here to lead you up out of the land of bondage? The Lord said, when you go down there, you go down there and say, I am has sent me. I am. That's the name of God. That's God. God has sent me down here to lead you people up out of the land. He's heard your prayers. He's heard your cries. And he sent me down here to lead you up out of the land of Egypt. Now, obviously, he was a very unlikely person as you begin to look at the criteria that would be used to choose a leader. He didn't fit the bill. But let me tell you something. God doesn't always take the people who, quote, fit the bill. When you even study the New Testament, you'll find that he doesn't take those that most people would think would be taken to do his work and to do his will. He takes people like me. Really think about it for a little bit. One of the most likely people in the world to be standing up here preaching the gospel. He could have chosen people with intelligence. He could have chosen people with all kinds of things far superior to anything that I'll ever be. But he didn't. He chose someone. The Bible says he chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So he did a good job. He's got a lot of people confounded whenever he's got someone like me up here. But I tell you what, I know from experience that it's not me that gets the job done. It's the Lord. But I have to be willing. I have to be under subjection to him. And I have to be willing to say, Lord, you take me and use me. Help me to preach your word. Moses said, why, Lord, they're not going to believe me. Lord, so you go down and tell them I am sent. So then Moses comes up with a second thought. He said, well, Lord, you know what? Even though I could go down there and they might be convinced of that, he said, I'm not eloquent enough of speech. You know, I just can't speak well enough. How many times do I hear from people, well, you know, I just couldn't do that because, you know, I don't know enough about the Bible. I don't know enough about the word of the Lord. I don't know all of these. Listen, when God is dealing with you and God is saying, you know, I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. We need to be willing to listen to him and say, Lord, if you can take me and use me, use me. But I want you to listen now what the word of the Lord says. In the fourth chapter of the 14th and the 14th verse of the book of Exodus, the Bible says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. He was angry. The God was angry with him. Why shouldn't he be angry with him? Here God is telling him all the things he'll do for him, and Moses said, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. Why shouldn't he get angry with his people today whenever that we just want to pussyfoot around and make all kinds of excuses to why we can't do something for the Lord? Oh, let somebody else do it. Give somebody else, I'm not capable, I'm not good enough. Listen, God saved your soul and God gave you his spirit and God gave you his leadership. God can do anything with you if you'll let him. We just sometimes are like Moses. The Bible says that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. Lord says, I'll still take care of everything. I still am going to take care of it. But I'm not happy with you, Moses, right now. Let me tell you something. We need to recognize that sometimes God is not happy with us. In the 11th chapter of the book of Numbers, in the very first verse, it says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. What's happening? Well, the children of Israel, they're now on the journey. God's been providing them all along the way. He's provided the leadership in Moses. They've been through a lot of trials already. God has stayed with them. He's provided leadership for Moses and for all the people. You know, on a pillar of a cloud by day and by fire by night. He's led them and he's leading them out here. But all of a sudden, they decide that things aren't going the way they wanted to, and so they start complaining. How many times have we stopped as a child of God and said, you know what, God has been so good to me and has blessed me so many ways. Why in the world would I be complaining and digging my heels in as to whether or not I will do what the Lord wants me to do? Why? Well, because we are a sinful nature. But listen, it doesn't always please the Lord. We've got a lot of things going on today that make the Lord angry. Don't you doubt it for a second. And he isn't happy about it. And I will tell you this again by the word of God, there'll be a price to be paid. Every single one of us is a child of God. Our disobedience, there'll be a price for us to pay. I can't tell you what it's going to be. I don't know. It'll be different from one person to another. But I'll guarantee you God will take care of it. God's going to say, I'm not going to put up with that nonsense anymore. I'm patient. I'm long-suffering. And I will listen for a certain amount of time. But there are some things that I expect out of you as one of my children. And when you don't do it, whenever that I specifically ask you to do it, I'm not happy about it. Oh, my preacher, where are you coming up with this? This is not the Lord that I'm serving, not the Lord. Mine's a God of love. I didn't say he wasn't a God of love. He is a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. He's a God of vengeance. You know, I was just thinking the other day, and I was reading, and I thought, you know, one of these days, whenever that you get over into the book of Revelation there and some of the things have been to happen, it says the Lord is going to come with his army and destroy those people. Man, do you think that's going to, he's just going to come and say, honey, it's all right, you know? No, it isn't. I even wonder, who's going to be in the army? Is that going to be some of us as the saints who are going to be in the army? I don't know. Everything about that, Bart, yeah. Couldn't give you a clue as to who that's going to be. But he's going to come with his army. Yeah. And he's going to take vengeance upon those. The Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Sometimes we're trying to take care of things like that when we have no business doing it, instead of trying to take care of the things that God is wanting us to do. But God is as good as he is, and good and long-suffering as he is, he also has a point where that we as his children anger him. In Numbers, the 12th chapter, the 9th verse, again, the children of Israel out here, and they're complaining. And they've got a particular couple here who decided, you know, that Moses is maybe not the only man the Lord's speaking to. And they were bent out of shape, not because of Moses' leadership, but because Moses had married a black woman. Yeah. But instead of just coming right out and saying, you know, we don't like it because he married a black woman, they said, you know, is Moses the only one that the Lord can speak to? And the Lord said, you two come out here. You come out away from the camp. You come out here, you're going to appear before me. Moses, I want you to come along with them. And so the Lord took them out there. And he said, you listen to me right now. Now, I'm paraphrasing it, but you can go back over here and you can read this. Numbers 12. You'll need the whole chapter. Don't do it now. I want you to listen to me a minute. He said, I want you to come out here, and I'm going to tell you two something. How would you like to get called on the carpet by the Lord? I've been reading for the past few weeks and trying to make some preparation here for our anniversaries, and I've been going back through the church records, the minute books, and I've read a lot of the minutes of the church. But back years ago, the church used to call people on the carpet for disciplinary reasons. One of the most interesting ones I can't tell you some of them. One though that they called an old boy on the carpet for was he apparently stole a hog. You see, he's charged with hog stealing. Yeah, well, if you think that one's kind of far out, there's even one that's farther out. There was one of the women who was called before the church for defrauding one of the sisters in the church. And what she had done, she had apparently knitted something and I assume sold it to this lady, but she had not used the appropriate number of threads in the material. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? We're all laughing about it, and I read it again to see if I'd read it right. I couldn't believe it. But now let me tell you something. They were serious about it. And she got called, they sent a committee to investigate it. Called her on the carpet, and she came before the church. Made her acknowledgement and made her apologies. They used to do things like that. Let me tell you something. They didn't tolerate a lot of the nonsense that we do today. They wouldn't put up with it. How'd you like to have been a member back then? I'll tell you, this church has had some pretty serious disciplinary issues before. I'll share a few at probably the June one. I don't dare do it at the April one. They might not let me do it again after I do that. Now listen, Miriam, you get out here and you appear before me, the Lord said. So they come out, Moses is out there, and the Lord effectively said this. Now listen, I speak to people many times through others. But when I speak to Moses face to face. And don't you forget that. I'm not happy with what you all have been saying and what you have been doing. And the Lord turned around and walked off and left them. How'd you like to be left out of the Lord? Oh, somebody's going to say real quick, the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. He walked off from these two. And immediately, she became leprous. Now listen, God sometimes is angry at some of the things and some of the stunts his people pull. And he was angry with these two because of what they had said about the man he had chosen to lead the people up out of the land of Egypt. The Lord again became angry with Uzziah. You remember him? Uzziah is the fellow who, whenever that the children of Israel were, had gone down to bring the Ark of the Covenant home. And David was with them at that time. And oh, they were all excited about how they were going to see the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of the Lord. And whenever that the children of Israel get in trouble and the Lord would allow their enemies to come in and conquer them. Many times they would take the Ark of the Covenant. That was a trophy. That was what they held up to say, hey, look, this is what we've taken from the children of Israel, one of the most sacred things they had. And so the Lord had placed it upon the hearts of his children to go down and bring the Ark of the Covenant back home. And so they're down here and they're all excited about it. They're bringing it back home. They build a new cart and got a team of oxen and they place the Ark of the Covenant on it and they're bringing it home and they hit a chug hole. And the Ark almost slides off, and as it starts to fall off, Uzziah steadies it. He gets a hold of it. And the second that he does, God kills him. I said, well, he died. Well, yeah, he died. But the Lord did it. You know what? The Bible says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzziah. Some go, oh, well, you know, it wasn't his fault. Well, it was his fault. It wasn't just his fault. It was more than just his, because nobody had taken the time to see that that wasn't the appropriate way for it to have been done. And the Lord got their attention. He was angry, the Lord was, the Bible says. Oh, preacher, you must be serving a different Lord than I am. Well, I hope not. I hope we're not serving a different one. But I'll guarantee you this one thing, the Lord I serve, he can get mad about things. He can get upset about things. He can be angry about things. And sometimes it's our actions that create that kindle that anger. Now, most of you know, the rest of that is that obviously what they should have been doing, and according to the old Mosaic law, was that there was a proper procedure that that ark should have been being moved by. And they hadn't taken the time to check and to see the appropriate way, and so it cost Uzziah his life. Second Kings, 13th chapter. The Bible says that the children of Israel, on another occasion, they had gone out and conquered a people, and one of them brought back, he wanted a little trophy from the battle, and he brought it back with him. He brought more than one thing, but one in particular caused him to get in trouble. And he brought it in and he hid it. He knew he shouldn't have done that. How many times do God's people know they shouldn't have done something? And just think, well, you know, the Lord, all I've got to do is say, I'm sorry. Let me tell you what the old prophet said. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. The Lord doesn't want us to come and say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. What God wants us to do is to listen to him in the first place. Be obedient to him. Listen to him as he speaks to us so that we don't give him any room to be angry with us, because God can't be angry with us, people. And this old boy, he hides this in his tent. And so the Lord says, okay, y'all are going to pay the price. And they decide that the people of Israel decide they're going to go out and conquer another people out here. So they go spy out the land, and they come back and they get a report, and they say, now, to the leadership, says, we don't need, we don't need to send a whole army out there. All we need is about 3,000 men. We'll just take 3,000 men, go out there, and we can whip those people. They go out there and get the pants beat off of them. Yeah. The Lord let the enemy just put them to flight. And they lost, I think it was 63 or 36. Now I've forgotten my number. 63, I believe, of the people died. When they come back and they're all upset, they can't figure out why in the world, why did this happen to us? Now then we're going to be, every nation out there is going to know that they can just come in and whip us anytime they want to. When we in a little old country like this go out here and defeat us. And they're all downhearted. And the Lord speaks again to his leader and says, hey, you know what? You've got sin in the camp. And until you get that taken care of, you're going to continue to experience my anger. Sometimes it isn't just enough to say I'm sorry, folks. Sometimes we got to get the issues straightened out. And so they set up then and they said, okay, we're going to have to bring everybody in here, and we're going to do it tribe by tribe, household by household, person to person, until we find out where the problem is. My problem is I got to hurry up and finish. They finally found out the problem, and you know what they did? They took this man and his family and all of his possessions and took him outside the city and stoned him to death. Pretty severe punishment, wasn't it? Yeah. That's what God can do sometimes. Now then, the Bible says over in the New Testament, somebody's going to say, oh, he's just been in the Old Testament all morning. There's anything new. Yes, there is. Go over and read Mark, 3rd chapter, 5th verse. And said, and when he had looked round about on them with anger, the Lord Jesus Christ looked around at these people, and when he did, he was angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. There's not one of you here can do that. Not a one of you. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how holy and how high-minded you are. If you get mad, you're just going to sin. I'll guarantee you by the word of God we will. But Jesus Christ never sinned. God never sinned. But so there is an anger about them that is different than us. John How many of you here? Don't put your hands up. I asked last week something. I had one hand go up. Then later, I had another person. Oh, yeah, I knew that. I really seriously doubt it, but it's okay. It was almost a trick question. This is not a trick question. How many of you here know John 3:16, don't put your hands up? Most everybody here to put your hand up right then. How many of you know John 3:36? Now put your hands up. How many of you know John 3:36? Well, let's see. How come we didn't go ahead and get the rest of it? Because we like John 3:16, and it is a good verse. But you know what John 3:36 says? It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God. The wrath of God. Let me tell you something. God can be angry. As I went back and began to look at anger in doing some research, and I go to one of my concordances, there's pages of the references to anger in the Word of the Lord. I was surprised. But let me tell you something. Probably even more surprising is how many different times and places that it speaks about God's anger. Keep that in mind. I love to preach about a God of love. But sometimes I think that we just sugarcoat reality. Life is real, folks. And yeah, it's good to be able to smile, Joyce, at people, but there are some times that I don't smile. And I'm sure everybody else is the same way. And there may not be any good reason for that. But there are some times God is not happy with us, and there are reasons for that.